The body of Jesus Christ is one of the most unique, wonderful, living image we have of what the church really is. We began our series by talking about the body being designed by God. It is something that He Himself has done. He organized it. He fashioned it. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28, we're told that He has placed every member in the body as it pleased Him. So that none of us is a part of that body and are where we are supposed to be outside of the fact of the grace of God placing us in the body, that in a position that brings pleasure to God. It's a unique, unique image. And I want to make sure that I finish this morning, so I'll just take just a moment to go back and just review what we studied. The body is designed by Christ in a unifying process. We have all been placed into the body by the Spirit. And God has placed us initially into the body that we might become a part of that body, part of that functioning expression of the life of God. And He has given each member a gift to be used within the context of the body. I've said before and I say again this morning that your gift might help you in your job. Your gift might help you at home. But your gift has been given for the body. The place where your gift is to be used, the whole purpose of God in placing you in the body and giving you a gift is that you might become a functioning part, just as each member of my body functions, and it functions under the direction of the head. The head of the body is not the pastor. The head of the body is not the deacons. The head of the body is not the elder. The head of the body is Jesus Christ, designed so by God. He has made Him to be head of the body. Then we were looking at what happens when the body functions in conjunction with the head, that it is organically tied to the head by a mysterious work of God through the precious blood of Christ and the work of the Spirit. If you are a believer this morning, you have been placed into the body, and God wants to communicate with you, and He wants you to communicate with Him, because that is exactly what takes place between the body and the head. The head communicates to the body, and the body communicates to the head. We talked about the diversity in the body. No two members of the body is alike. Someone said to my son yesterday, "You look just like your father." And I said, "Poor child." But it's true. I am his father. And my friends, even though he is different from me, he is tied to me by blood. And you are tied to Jesus Christ the head by blood and by his Spirit. And you are who you are, uniquely as you are, diverse as we are as a part of the body. The mystery and the uniqueness of the body of Christ is that God brings people from different backgrounds, from different places, and He places them in the body. And as a result of the unifying work of God's Spirit, we are called upon to display before a watching world, including the angels in heaven, we are called to display before them the uniqueness of the activity of grace in our lives, so that we are able to live with, work with, love one another as God Himself loves us. Because you see, the life of the body is the life of God. The life of the body is not the programs of the church. The life of the body is not the denominational ties. The life of the body is the life of God. And that life is unique. That life belongs to God. And He has placed Christ as the head of the church so that He might truly become the life of the body as the body relates to Him and He relates to the body. Now let's look at my second point. Joan asked me, do I have your outline for this week? I said the same one we used 2 weeks ago, because I didn't finish my message. And here's the second part, if you please. The duty of the body. What is the body supposed to do? What do I do after I become a Christian? What is the purpose of my being here, left on this earth? What does God want me to actually eventuate into as I wait upon the second coming of Christ or He raptures me out of this world? What am I supposed to be doing? In your outline, my friends, I suggest to you that the body is obligated to the head. The body is obligated to the head. The body is to move in relation to its head so that the church moves in relation to Christ. Listen to what we're told. You are His body, and He is the head. So just as the individual parts of my body is obligated to the head to know what it is supposed to do, my finger doesn't point or move without getting instruction from my head. I do not walk in any direction but that I get instruction from my head. My whole body is obligated to my head. My head is not obligated to my body. My body is obligated to my head. So is the body of Jesus Christ. You see, every body, each body, belongs to the individual who owns that body. Your body belongs to your head. Your body belongs to your head. It doesn't belong to me. I can't do with your body what my head tells me to do with it. Just as my body belongs to me and your body belongs to you, the body of Christ belongs to Christ. He is the one who tells the body what to do. I have no responsibility over your body. The world has no responsibility over the body of Christ. Satan has no responsibility over the body of Christ. Because the body does not belong to Satan. It doesn't belong to the world. It belongs to Christ. He is the head. I heard a wonderful story some time ago by Paul Harvey, the news commentator. He tells a story, and I understand it's a true story, of this young girl who was the most disruptive, almost disgusting little girl to babysit. She had her nanny. She had the one who took care of her, and she wouldn't do anything that she was told. Nanny after nanny would come, and this little girl would drive them away by her behavior. And one day, a new nanny came. And the parents left the nanny to take care of this little girl. And this little girl started to go into her regular behaviors. And this nanny watched the behavior of this girl. And she took a piece of paper. And she wrote a little note on that paper. And she gave that little girl the note. And the note read, "Do you realize that you are related to the King of England? Do you realize that you are related to the King of England?" From that time, that little girl changed her behavior. You see, her name was Victoria. Queen Victoria, as a little girl, was everything I suppose little girls are, or little boys are. And when she was told what her relationship was to the most powerful monarch on earth, she changed her behavior because she realized that she was now obligated to live out that responsibility, to live out that relationship, to live out that sense of connection between him and me. My friends, sometimes the body of Christ is dysfunctional. The book of 1 Corinthians tells us of a dysfunctional body. It was a body that had divisions in it. It was a body that did not get along with one another. There were party spirits in that body. And there were people who were saying, "I belong to Paul, I belong to Apollos, I belong to Cephas." And the body was dysfunctional. And whenever there is division in the body of Christ, it is like a body that has a disease in it. It is like a body that is not responding to the head. Because when the whole body responds to the head, the body moves in conjunction and in connection not only with its parts, but with its head. I think of two such dysfunctional parts of the body. Peter went into the place and he was warming his hands around the fire of those who would later crucify his Lord. And the little maiden came to Peter and said, "Do you belong to them?" And Peter said, "No, I don't belong to them." Later on, "Do you belong to them?" "No." And then came this word, "But you do belong to him. Your language betrays you. You have that something that says, this is the way those who belong to him speaks." And Peter, to deny that, began to curse and to swear. Here was a body, a part of the body, who wanted so much to preserve itself that it was willing to be a dysfunctional part of the body by denying its head. And sometimes we do that in the body of Christ. Sometimes we want our way so badly that sometimes Christians use language, use behaviors that are inconsistent with the head, and therefore the body becomes dysfunctional. Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, said to them, 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 3, "For you are still fleshly, for since there is jealousy, strife among you, are you not walking as mere men?" The body was called to display the life of the Almighty, of the transcendent God. And instead of expressing that, they were behaving like the world. The body is obligated to the head. My friends, I find this to be absolutely moving in my own life. Romans chapter 15, verses 5 to 7. Romans 15, is this possible? Listen to this. "Now may God, who gives perseverance and encouragement, grant you to be of the same mind with one another, according to Christ Jesus, that with one accord you may with one voice glorify God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore, accept one another, just as Christ also accepted us to the glory of God." Is it possible that a church here on earth can work and live and work together in such a unifying way that by the very way they function together, God is glorified? The very way they communicate with one another, God is glorified. The thing they do have nothing to do with selfish ambition. It has everything to do with the glory of God. You see, when the head is controlling the body, Jesus Christ never did anything but that he wanted to please his Father. And when I am obligated to the head and Christ's life is flowing through me, I will not want to do anything but that which pleases my Father. The head, the body, is obligated to the head. It is obligated to the head. I dare not say, as my hands, as we read this morning, "I don't want to be related here," or "I don't want to be related here," or "I don't want the head to control me." Because, my friends, without the head, there is no life. Without the head, there is no life. I don't know, might be some animal lovers in the congregation, and I'll take the risk. When I was a young child in Central America, one of the things we used to do, and we didn't live in huts or anything, okay? I just want you to know. Christopher, my relatives were down in Central America where I was born, and they brought back some movies to show the house where I was born in. I was born at home. Those days, you didn't go to hospital to be born. At least your mother didn't take you there, I should say. And Christopher saw the house, and he said, "Daddy, that looks like a cabin. That is so small." Well, compared to what he knows, it is small. But that was it. We had no choice, and we had to learn how to live with one another. Four girls and two boys. My father was dead. The head of our home was Mom. All 4 feet, 11 inches of her. And friends, when she spoke, we moved. When she barked, we hid. See, my mother did not put up, I used to tell people, really, she was not an American. But she used to give the stripes and I used to see the stars over and over again. She wanted obedience. I could not bargain obedience with my mother. I could not say to her, "But Mom." And friends, we do that with Christ, the head. The body of Jesus Christ is so fractured today because somehow the life is not flowing from the head to the body. We are dysfunctional because we see one another almost suspiciously. And you want me to tell you, my friends, where this argument is coming in? The scripture says in Ephesians chapter 1 that God has made him to be head of the church. In Colossians chapter 1 verse 18, Christ is the head of the church. Now you know what our argument is today? What is meant by head? Books are being written about what is meant by head. Therefore, what I interpret head to be, that's how I see Christ. And some see him simply as source. He is the source from which we do our thing. The word, my friends, literally means authority. It means one who sits over and rule. Jesus Christ does not bargain with us as his body what we're supposed to do. He tells us what to do. He has already told us in his word we are to love one another as God loves him. He has already told us to be pure in heart. He has already commanded us that we live to the glory of God. See something else he tells us in a minute. Obedience. The issue of the church of Jesus Christ, of the body of Christ today, is obedience. We have bigger churches. But my friends, we do not have spiritual churches. Those are not my words. Those are the words of Chuck Colson, who has traveled North America and the world. What he meant is this, that we can talk to people about the love of Christ, we can talk to people about the grace of Christ, we can talk to people about the peace of Christ, but we cannot talk to people about the commandment of Christ. The moment we get to the commandment, we begin to ask questions. We begin to ask what this means. We never ask what it means when it says love, or grace, or peace, but we begin to ask questions when he says, "This is my commandment." Dietrich Bonhoeffer, someone who knew what it was to obey Christ, who obeyed him to his death under Hitler. Bonhoeffer says this in that great little book called The Cost of Discipleship. Keep posing questions about obedience to Christ, and you will never find it necessary to obey Christ. Keep posing questions about obedience to Christ, and you will never find it necessary to obey Him. Jesus Christ said, "You are my disciples if you do what I command you." While half of all Americans attend church on a given Sunday, only 6 or 10% are highly spiritual committed. While the church is experiencing a season of growth and prosperity, it is failing to move people to commitment and sacrifice. And you know that no relationship exists without sacrifice, without commitment. The church, then, the duty of the church is to be obligated to its head. The duty of the church is to obey its head. But my friends, the duty of the church is to be an outlet for the head. Christ wants to live His life through His body. In His high priestly prayer, in John 17:23, He said, "I pray not only for these, but for those yonder in time that will believe through the witness of these." You see, we are going to look at the church as a temple one of these days. And a temple is a stationary place. A temple is a place where you don't do certain things, where it is set aside for certain things, but a body moves around. And the scripture says that Christ by His Spirit has come to reside in our lives so that we might move around, so that this morning, listen friends, this morning, as we leave this place, I chuckled as I wrote this, as we leave this place, Christ is going to go to Swiss Chalet. Christ is going to go to Pizza Hut. Christ is going to go to wherever you go. If you are a believer, if you are a part of the body of Christ, He wants to live out His life wherever you go, and then He's going to go home later on. He's going to go home with you as a husband, relating to your wife, as a wife relating to her husband, to children responding to parents and parents to children. In the morning, Christ is going to go to grade 1 and grade 2 and kindergarten. He's going to go to grade 8 and He's going to go to grade 11. And He's going to go downtown to work. And He's going to go, my friends, in the places where you are. You are an outlet for Him. And the greatest need of the world is to see something of God in you, the hope of glory that brings them to understand. Let me give an illustration, please. I didn't see how I could get through this morning without thinking of this. My heart has been extremely heavy for the entire week. Tuesday morning, I received a call that one of my very, very good friend, the first person that I met in Ontario when I came here 27 years ago, was playing basketball and dropped dead. 52 years old. It was my privilege to have a part of the service Friday night. And there was almost 1,000 people in Bayfair Baptist Church. And one of the most remarkable things, as word came from England and Japan and India and the United States, the shock of it all. But one theme ran through every comment that was made about David. That everyone who came in touch with David Annette knew that Christ existed, knew that Jesus Christ was his Lord. David used to work for Apple. He was the vice president of human resources. One of my friends who was there was the president of Apple at the time. He's now living in the States. I was talking to David, is his name as well, after the service Friday night. And I said, "David, where are you now?" He said, I'm living in Colorado. I said, oh, the Mecca for Christians now, eh? And he said, no. He's working with the NFL. And he travels almost like a kind of an assistant chaplain to the NFL all across the United States. This other David. We're talking. And this lady who heard of David's death came and also met David, our friend. David is relating this story to me how when the two Davids worked together, they used to meet at Apple every day for prayer. This lady who was not a professing Christian at all. Heard from my friend David, who is working with the NFL. And she heard this. David used to pray for you all the time when David worked with us. David used to pray for you all the time. And she broke down in tears as she heard of a man in a secular environment fleshing out the life of Christ, praying for her. I don't know what happened to her Friday night, friends, but I wouldn't be surprised that we'll meet her in heaven. You see, Jesus wants to flesh out his life in you this morning, tomorrow. He wants you to take those hard things of life and place them in his hands and see how he will transform them into blessings for others. I close with these words. The church is not incidental to the great cosmic struggle for the hearts and the souls of modern men and women. It is. That is the church, the body of Christ. It is the instrument God has chosen for the battle. A battle we are called to by virtue of being members of his body, to bring hope and truth to the needy world. The church must be the church. We are God's outlet. We are not simply here, my friends, to come Sunday morning. But we're here Sunday morning to get, as it were, our batteries charged. And to go out into the highways and byways. And to allow Jesus Christ, in obedience to him, our head, to make us to become conduits by which he draws men and women, boys and girls, to saving faith in himself. The body of Christ, its design is by God. Its duty is from God. Will you respond to the head this morning? You become a part of the body by receiving Jesus Christ as your Savior. You begin to function again as a part of that body. If you are already a believer in him, you do that by recommitment of yourself to Jesus Christ as Lord. I'm not going to give an invitation this morning as such, but my friends, if you want to renew your part in the body of Christ this morning, you'll hear a lot more about it later on, but if you want to renew yourself, and if you feel as we sing, you want to come forward as a sign of your commitment and renewal of your commitment as a part of the body, I invite you to come as we sing our closing hymn. We are called to be God's people, showing by our lives his grace, one in heart and one in spirit, sign of hope for all the race. Please stand, and if you feel that God has spoken to you this morning to recommit your life to him as your head, please come. And we'll have prayer with you, and we shall be dismissed.